This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. Our first reading comes from 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, 4 through 8. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones, and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Listen for the word of the Lord in this reading. Our second reading is from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 25, verse 25, to the 5th chapter, verse 2. Putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Listen well for the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When we encounter Elijah today, he's having a bad day. I mean, a really bad day. To understand why, we need a little bit of background, so bear with me here. Elijah lived during a time in which the northern kingdom of Israel was separate from the southern kingdom of Judah. In the north, the king was Ahab. Ahab's father, Omri, had brought the northern kingdom to a position of great power, really. He established his capital at Samaria. But in politics, then as now, it's all about who's on whose side. He forged friendly relations with the Sidonians, people we would call the Phoenicians. And in Ahab's time, those relationships were cemented by a marriage. Ahab married the daughter of Ethbaal, Sidonia's king. Her name was Jezebel. You would be correct in assuming that this is not going to end well. For Israel, this marriage was a fatal step too far, for is it not written, "You are not permitted to put a foreigner over you who is not of your own community"? Jezebel did not worship Yahweh, our God. In fact, she was hostile to the worship of Yahweh. She demanded and got facilities for carrying on her form of worship. Ahab even built a temple and an altar in Samaria for Baal. You can easily understand why he did such a foolish thing. Ahab had to keep his country safe one way or another. And one way to do that was through alliances, which is what his father had done. Ahab wanted good relations with the Sidonians, which meant he had to keep his wife happy. But keeping Jezebel happy meant compromising God's law. It meant turning Israel from a monotheistic country, worshiping only one God, to one which would tolerate a temple to Baal in the capital. I told you this was not going to end well. Having gotten her toe in the door, so to speak, Jezebel went so far as to require that her religion should be the national religion of Israel. She organized and maintained guilds of prophets, 450 of them for Baal, 400 for Asherah. Then she went about killing such prophets of God as she could reach. Things came to a head in Carmel. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" He answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now, therefore, have all Israel assemble for me at Mount Carmel with 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." Just look at how this mess is playing out. Ahab, to keep good relations with his allies, has to make nice with the princess of Sidonia, who is now his wife. To do that, he has to turn his back on the commandments of God. Ahab is now faced with the prophet of the Lord, a man who is apparently not afraid of wiggling his fingers in the old man's beard, and who is now proposing a contest between God and Jezebel's gods. Everybody shows up at Mount Carmel in one of the best-known encounters in the Old Testament. The prophets of Baal and Asherah went first. So they took the bull that was given them, prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, crying, "O Baal, answer us!" But there was no voice and no answer. They limped about the altar that they had made. At noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, surely he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he has wandered away, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." Then they cried aloud, and as was their custom, they cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out over them. As midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no answer, and no response. They got bupkis. For all their trouble, they got bupkis. Elijah was up next. At the time of the offering of the oblation, the prophet Elijah came near and said, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so the people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord indeed is God, the Lord indeed is God." Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape." Then they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the Wadi Kishon and killed them there. I'd like for you to imagine how Jezebel, daughter of mighty Ethbaal, princess of Sidonia and wife of great Ahab of Israel, might react to having the God she had worshipped since a child bested in this public way, and to top it all off to see all her co-religionists slaughtered. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life. This is where we find Elijah today, having a really bad day. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. I think we can all empathize with Elijah. Sometimes it just seems too much. We know of God's commandments, but the enormity of the task before us is just too much. We get overwhelmed. Elijah's at the end of his rope. He's out of gas. He'd rather die than take on any more stress. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Elijah was sustained by angels to complete his task. God knows he has set overwhelming challenges before us, and he provides us with the resources we need to complete those tasks. That's no small thing, church. God's commandments are uncompromising, but we have to live out his law in a real world which places its own demands on us. Ahab compromised and took on Jezebel and her foreign religion. How are we to balance the demands of this scary world with the commandments of God when the loudest voices we hear are those trafficking in fear? Fear of those who are not like us. We're told that people entering at the southern borders are scary people. We're told they're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists. They're not like us. They don't even speak English. But does not Paul remind us, in the law it is written, "By people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people, and even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord." These scary people are going to steal what we've got. What we have because we worked hard for it. Surely poor people from the south can't come in and enjoy what we have built. But did Ezekiel not say, "Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy." We're in a country that honors the rule of law. Some of the people crossing the border are breaking our laws, so they're criminals by definition. They must know that if they violate our laws, there will be consequences. Harsh consequences, even loss of their children. But is it not written in the law, "When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Note well that last sentence. "I am the Lord your God." Ahab tried compromising God's law. It did not end well at all. Jezebel was thrown from a window, and the dogs ate her corpse, leaving only her skull, her hands, and her feet. Ahab was killed in battle, not intentionally, but by an unaimed arrow. And pigs licked his blood. Whose laws, church? Whose laws will you be sustained in? Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Make no mistake, Church, there is evil in the world. There is evil in the world that is offered to us as righteousness. It is the task of the Christian to oppose the devil's work and to do so in a way that restores God's laws. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Until we meet again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And God's children said,
Amen.